not in a general conversation anymore like it had been.
Yeah.
There are quite a few German-speaking people left in this town. Very
really?
Few. Yeah. And then we all speak English. It's a little bit easier.
Well, when you see someone who speaks German, do you usually speak German with them? Or?
Yeah, sure. Then we speak a dialect, too, called Bavarian. I speak a dialect.
Oh, really?
Huh. That's something same. You probably don't know anything about Castroville, Texas, do you?
No.
Well, that was settled by Alsatian people. Alsatia is an area between France and Germany.
Uh-huh.
All right. What they speak there, they call it Alsatian, and here we call it Bavarian.
Oh.
It's practically the same language,
same dialect. I
see.
But what do you use it for? I mean, how do you decide whether to use just plain German or...
Well, that's due to circumstances, you might say. Because that dialect is not used much anymore either, especially in town, not in the country. It's used now further, and that's northern here, northern this way a little bit. But now, 7 miles or so northwest here, there's a dialect called Plattdeutsch. That's a type of dialect that's on the border of Germany and Holland.
Uh-huh.
It's a different type of German. I don't understand it at all.
Huh.
The German has, people say, by talking about high German, low German, there's no such thing. There's just one German, the way you see it in books and magazines and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's 28 dialects.
Oh, I see.
Some dialect I can't understand.
Yeah. $28. Well, would you use a dialect if it was like more informal or...
It's more informal than German language.
I see.
German can be very formal if you use the pure German, which people here don't understand.
Yeah.
I can get along fairly well with that, but I don't use it because people here don't understand you.
I see.
And then even in German, how would you say it, using the consulate, I think you call it, I believe it's called consulate, the German office.
Yeah.
They have modernized the German into a lot of English words.
Hmm.
And talking about that, I painted a house one time for a doctor there in Houston, and I found out that they were stationed in Germany. I saw things in the living room that's from Germany, I could tell.
Uh-huh.
So I asked the lady, this looks like a lot of things from Germany. She said, yes, we were stationed there during the World War II. Oh, how nice. And can I speak German? She said, yes, ma'am, I speak German, I read German. You can. So I'm going to show you something. And so she brought out two letters. Said the lady who had been translating those letters for us all these years moved away. Now we haven't found nobody that can translate those letters for us. I said, well, maybe I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at them and said, oh, Lord, I better more than I can chew. That lady who wrote these letters took her education in London, England. And her handwriting was a combination of English and German.
Oh, no.
But looked like T-H-C. C U C actually was I H N E N. After I had that deciphered, then it was easy. And they cut off the type of handwriting. I got $5 for translating those two letters.
Yeah. But my goodness, that must have been really hard, though.
Yeah, well, it was come easy at the Quran.
Yeah.
At the Quran with how she's writing that.
That's fascinating.
But I never had seen nothing like that.
Yeah.
It was neither English nor German.
Fascinating.
But it actually was German reading. But it kind of half and half, English and German writing, but it wasn't a problem.
That's fascinating. Those people probably didn't appreciate how much trouble it was, too.
I went to a place near Beaumont, a town called Netherlands, but there was a very big Dutch windmill that was out of our Dutch people. There was a girl working in the concession stand. I asked her, do you speak Holland? She said, yes, sir. Speak to me. Give me a greeting in your language. And she said, oh, well, I understood that. That sounds like German.
Huh.
Do you speak German? I said, yes.
Huh.
Well, it's a son. I understand it so perfectly.
That's fascinating. Just fascinating.
Then I worked a couple of rooms papering for people who were Norwegian. They spoke Norwegian. I understood them.
That's fantastic. I'm going to wish that I had you with me this summer if I get to go to Germany and I'm not going to understand anything.
I wouldn't be afraid to speak in Germany. My cousin was there last September. They speak German there like we do here.
Isn't that neat? That is just so neat.
But they use their words probably different, but which is understandable.
Yeah, but still, you know, you'd be able to understand them.
They ask him, too, what happens to hear Rust? That means, where's your horse? Rust is an old German name for horse. Today, we call it a pack. We don't use the word Rust no more. That's an old type German. See, that's old and a new type German. Read old German, even old German print looks like old English print.
I've seen that. It's real hard to read.
I can read it. That's no trouble.
Can you? That's going to be terribly hard. Well, so they still use this old word.
Do what now?
They still use the old word for horse.
Well, no, they use a new word now. It's called ferret.
Uh-huh.
P-F-E-R-D, ferret. The P is silent.
Uh-huh.
They used to call it Rust. Rust is a high German name for horse.
I see.
That's so much stated by the German language, it's hard to understand. You have to grow up with it.
Yeah.
So we had German in school.